And now, 88.9 and 96.5 FM WDCR brings you The Cradle and the Convert. Join your hosts, Dave Slade and Mark Bartholomew, for a conversation about local issues with a Catholic perspective.
Good morning and welcome to The Cradle and the Convert. I'm Dave Slade, The Cradle.
And I'm Mark Bartholomew, The Convert.
Morning, Mark. How's it going?
Good, good, Brother Cradle. How are you?
I'm good. You know, it's all been, since we got over the flu and everything, everything's been great.
I know, it's kind of scary.
Yeah, the weather.
Waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Well, you know, they say that there are a lot of cases of flu in both hospitals in Decatur.
Yes.
And that it's not too late to get a flu shot. That the flu is the strongest in January and February, so we're into February.
I think
now.
This is the strongest year in a long time.
Yeah, and now the stuff I had wasn't the flu. It wasn't viral. It was bacteria.
Yeah, so exactly.
Enough of that. You know, the day you didn't come in, it was so funny. Sharon said, "Well, we don't want him coughing all over our microphones."
Bless her heart. She's always looking out for us.
Hey, you know what tomorrow is?
No.
Friday the 3rd is the feast day of
St. Blaise.
St. Blaise, the blessing of candles and the blessing of throats.
Yes.
And a few years ago, I was serving Mass. It was on a Friday.
Yeah.
And it's on a Friday this year. And I'll be serving Mass this year.
Uh-oh. Oh, man.
So Father asked me, would I help? They had all the kids from the school there. Would I help with the blessings of the throat? Well, I was very honored, you know, to hold the candles against the kids' throats and give them the blessing.
Yeah.
And Father John said, now here's what you say.
It's about an hour long.
Yeah. You know, through the intercession of St. Blaise, martyr and bishop, and there was like four more sentences.
Yeah.
He said, and that's all you got to say.
Yeah. You got it?
Well, I couldn't, you know, just wasn't working for me.
No, because, you know, first of all, you're all excited because you got a new assignment.
Yeah,
your brain's kind of spinning.
Exactly. Yeah. Then the kids started lining up, and I was standing next to Father with my candles, and I said, by the intercession of St. Blaise, martyr, and bishop,
you're healed.
Kind of sent them on their way. So what I was worried about was at school later in the day.
Yeah.
Some of them that had received the blessing from Father, which was the full,
right,
and the one that I uttered, yeah, they probably thought, I wonder if mine really counted.
Yeah.
But I'm sure through the intercession of St. Blaise it counted.
Well, maybe so.
If you get to Mass Friday, it's the day to bring candles and have your candles blessed for the year.
Yeah.
You know, if you have dinner candles, the tall, thin ones, or whatever kind of candles, it's the blessing of the candles. And, of course, St. Blaise was credited for saving the life of a child that was choking.
Yes.
And I'm not sure if it was a fishbone that was lodged or what the story was, but that's St. Blaise, and that's his feast day is tomorrow, Friday. So if you go to Mass, take your candles, you'll probably get your throats blessed by the priest. You know, with all the stuff that's going around this year with throats and voices and all of that.
Well, you know, Deacon O'Toole's going to talk to us in a little bit about the five love languages.
Yeah.
Or languages of love, I should say.
Right.
Okay. And I just wondered, when you were talking about the candles there, do you suppose that's where the word blaze came from for fire?
Blaze.
St. Blaise.
St. Blaise.
Blaise and blaze.
Spelled different, but it could
be. I know it is, but we're English. You know, we spell it.
I never thought about that.
Well, there you have it. Dump my homily for Friday.
On the show today, now that you've mentioned it, Deacon Patrick O'Toole will be here to talk to us about the Couples Night Out this next Tuesday at the Beach House. And he is going to tell us what his little talk's going to be about. Mm-hmm. And Couples Night Out is a great event for married couples or engaged couples or couples, period, to come and talk with others, do a little fellowship, have some hors d'oeuvres, maybe a glass of wine, and then hear a talk about strengthening your relationships. And that'll be at the Beach House on February the 7th. Doors open at 6 p.m. Tickets are $15 a person. You can contact your parish office for those, and maybe we'll have a number at the end of the show. Secondly, on the show today is Father Stephen Arisman. And
yes.
Father Arisman is the new pastor of Our Lady of the Holy Spirit in Mount Zion. And
St. Isidore
and Bethany. And he attended the March for Life last week. And
I can't wait to hear this.
Well, you know, I'm sure he's excited about it. It's an incredible event. It was a wonderful event. The vice president spoke. There was just so many good things that came out of that. And it got a little media coverage this year.
Yeah, imagine that.
I think that maybe the pendulum's starting to swing, and, you know, people, the pro-life people are finally being heard and I'm thinking seen as maybe, the majority.
I'm thinking rather than that, of course, you know I'm always a skeptic. I'm thinking they figured the vice president would stub his toe and say something, they'd nab him at, you know. So they all showed up for that.
Well, I don't know about that, but I watched him, and I saw some of the speeches, and I'll be interested to hear Father yes. Erisman's take on what happened at the March for
and
Life.
And how the kids reacted, because there were a lot of kids there.
Yeah, a lot of kids. Okay, well, you're listening to The Cradle and the Convert on 88.9 and 96.5 WDCR, Decatur Catholic Radio. And we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back on the other side with Deacon Patrick O'Toole.
For 2,000 years, we've helped the poor and comforted the sick. We've educated generations of children, developed the scientific method and college system. We support marriage and human life. Guided by the Holy Spirit, we compiled the Bible. We are the Catholic Church, with over 1 billion in our family, sharing in the fullness of Christian faith in the church started by Jesus. If you've been away, visit CatholicsComeHome.org today. Welcome home.
Okay, with us in this segment of The Cradle and the Convert here on 88.9 and 96.5 WDCR is Deacon Patrick O'Toole. Deacon O'Toole is the director of the Villa Maria Conference and Retreat Center over in Springfield, Mark, and that's on beautiful Lake Springfield.
Yes, it is.
He was ordained in 2009, currently lives in Morrisonville, Illinois, with his wife Danielle and 13 children.
Wow.
And one grandchild. Now, I'll bet that one grandchild's going to get more cousins to come along
you
as
think?
Time goes.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show, Deacon. We're glad you're with us.
Well, I'm glad to be here. Glad to be here.
Now,
and the truth is, we have number 14 on the way due in June.
Oh,
wow.
Exciting. See how quick that happened, Dave? All it took was a blessing from you there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, Deacon O'Toole, 13 and one on the way. That is an amazing testament to the power of life. You know,
well, absolutely. You know, it's part of Danielle and I have been doing marriage retreats for about 10 years now, and part of the message that obviously we try to communicate is the power that life brings to love. You know, that it's all connected. And you know, I often tell people that I've had people question me about, well, how is there enough love to go around in that house with that many children? And the point is, that love is not a finite thing.
Mm-hmm. It's not a commodity.
When another child comes in, the love is multiplied in the house, not lessened.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's beautiful.
Really the message we like to share.
Right. Now, you're going to be coming to Decatur next week to visit us at the Beach House restaurant down on beautiful Lake Decatur. And yeah. You're going to be talking to a group of young couples called Couples Night Out. And they meet and get together. This will be their second meeting. And I guess the last one was just really crowded.
It was a blowout.
And they've made it even bigger this time. And the most part of it is fellowship and getting to know each other. It's all the parishes, all the young couples, and a brief presentation by a guest speaker, which will be you, Deacon O'Toole. And you're going to talk about the five love languages. Is that right?
Well, that is definitely part of what we're going to talk about. I think we've got about 40 minutes, I think, is the plan. And the love languages is clearly a part of what we want to focus on because I think it's so important in helping couples truly love each other. But, you know, one of the things that I always say is, you know, suppose I describe our relationship this way. We're very close. We confide in each other. We enjoy each other's company. We believe in the same thing. We feel a strong sense of commitment, and we love each other dearly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just described my wife's relationship with Father Chris, a good friend of ours.
Exactly.
So the truth is, something has got to be fundamentally different about our relationship as husband and wife. You know, being best friends is not enough. It should be a given, but it is not what defines and enlivens the sacrament of matrimony or marriage. It's sexual desire, not friendship, that creates the atmosphere in which we are most fully present and most able to experience loving and being loved. Marriage is intended to be lived in kind of a sexually charged atmosphere, if you will, a climate of desire for our spouse that pervades our entire life. And it's this passionate desire to be one that is the defining characteristic and sets our marriage relationship apart from all our other relationships.
Now, Father, Deacon, that seems like it might be shocking to some people because...
Well, it is at first blush, I think.
Yes.
Especially, and it's really because our society tends to treat sexuality and just equate it with sex.
Yes.
And people think only about what happens in the bedroom. But the truth is that is way too limiting.
Mm-hmm.
The freedom to experience the real gift of sexuality comes when we expand our awareness of what it means to be masculine and feminine beyond those confines of, you know, just the experience of having sex. The truth is our sexuality is a gift from God.
Mm-hmm.
And as a married couple, when we're at our best, when we're in this atmosphere, you know, we're less picky, we're less critical, we're more generous with each other.
That's true.
You know, the things about marriage that are often difficult become so much easier to deal with when we're kind of in that place with each other.
Interesting. Very, very intriguing.
So that's, we have five, you're going to talk about the five love languages. Now, you know, when I was younger, I always thought the love languages were Italian, French.
Exactly.
Never learned any of them.
We're probably not going to go into that, right?
Well, the truth is this, you know, when we talk about the love languages, the fact is if our love language, if we don't understand each other's love language, it's almost as if we're speaking different languages. I'm speaking in English, and she only understands Chinese.
Mark and I are both nodding.
As long as that dynamic is at work, it really doesn't matter how hard we're trying to express our love. They're simply not getting the message. And so understanding each other's love language is really meant to help us enter into that, how do I best communicate love in the manner that my spouse hears and receives it.
I see, yeah.
We often communicate in the way we hear and receive love and think, what makes me feel loved, of course, is what will make my spouse feel loved, when in fact, in almost every case, that's simply not true.
It, on first blush, and I know you haven't even gotten into it yet, but it reminds me of the book, Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus, or vice versa.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, that's, as I said, the love languages is one of the big issues we're going to deal with, but it's more than that. I mean, it's really about there are several things that limit us from truly living in love every day like we would like to. First of all is, of course, the real world. You know, it's a world where bills and in-laws and jobs and children are all clamoring for our attention. And routine and resentment can often kind of silently eat away at the love we once had. You know, in the when we're living in that world, a look can hurt and a word can crush.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important that we kind of try to step out of that and step into a different place so that we can, because we do love each other. Those things happen in every relationship where we kind of slip into, if you will, a place where we're really not communicating our love.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't that it doesn't exist. We're just not communicating it. And if I'm not getting the feeling that you love me, it doesn't matter, in effect, that you do, because my response will not be what you would hope it would be from someone who loves you and who you love. And so that's the challenge. You know, we know that there's differences simply between who we are as men and women, and that's really where the Mars and Venus thing comes in. And it's true, you know. The fact is, we are different creatures, no matter what the culture might have us try to believe. You know, even things like, you know, we've heard the male brain and the female brain are wired differently. And, you know, we used to always think it was simply right brain, left brain, and what dominance you personally had, and that kind of affected how everything was. But we've now, through science, learned that, you know, some things that are on the right side in men are on the left side in women, are on both sides in women. Speech centers, for example, are on both sides of the female brain. And that's why the average woman speaks 24,000 words a day, while the average man uses 12,000, and most of those he speaks while he's at work. So it's no wonder he doesn't have much to say when he gets home.
All you need is two words, Deacon. Yes, dear.
Yes, dear. Exactly.
You're right, dear. That's three.
And, you know, men, you know, there's no question, we are testosterone-laden. You know, we have this drive to conquer, to go forward, to provide, to protect. We want to build, we want to win, we want to solve problems. So it's not surprising that, you know, we're willing to sacrifice for the common good or do the greater physical labor or even take the heroic risk. And that's just innately who we are as men. You know, women go back and forth between the frontal lobes of their brain much quicker. There's more connectors than men. They take in information 30% faster than we do. They hear human voices even as newborn baby girls. They're 80% more sensitive to the range of sound where human voices lie. And that difference actually increases as we get older.
I did not know that. My wife would say that's because we don't listen. Men don't listen.
We can't hear sometimes. So it's like when your husband doesn't get up because the baby's crying in the middle of the night, it may actually be because he doesn't hear her.
That's not how
that's received.
Yeah. Now, Deacon, there's another kind of language that Mark and I dealt with a lot when we were police officers, Mark, and it's not filthy language.
Oh.
It's body language.
Yes.
And our body language, they say, makes up about 80% of our communication. In the languages of love, do we talk about body language and the perception of, you can look at a person and tell if they're paying attention to you or if they're distracted or they have their arms crossed while you're talking to them. Is that also part of communication in a marriage?
Well, clearly. The thing is, depending, the five love languages are words of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts, acts of service, and physical touch. So depending upon which of those is your primary love language will depend upon how much body language affects you. Mm. If quality time is your primary love language, then yes, someone who's checking their phone while they're in your presence or who is working on the computer while you're having a conversation, that multitasking type of thing, for somebody whose love language is quality time, that is a killer to the perception of love. What they want is date night and time alone when you're speaking. You know, it's always interesting to me when we go out to a restaurant and you can kind of look around the room and tell who the dating couples are and who the married couples are.
That's true.
The dating couples seem to be looking at each other and having a nonstop conversation. The waitress comes to take their order, and they haven't even looked at the menu. The married couples sat down and knew exactly what they were going to order. They didn't even need the menu. And they spend the whole time kind of looking around the restaurant, seeing what's going on.
Yeah, isn't that exactly right.
That is true.
And so for a person who quality time is their primary love language, that date night is almost having no effect if you're not sitting at the table engaged with them like you were a young dating couple, like you did when you were dating them. And so it's really first understanding what is their primary love language and then how can I speak that language most effectively. So that's one where that's the case. You know, words of affirmation is probably the love language that shows up somewhere in the top half for everybody because as humans, we are just wired to desire affirmation. But if it is your primary love language, it's something that has to be really focused on by your spouse. A loving note, a text, or an email, the words I love you spoken frequently, compliments about your physical appearance, praise and support over your accomplishments, these are the kind of things that must be regularly part of your vocabulary if you truly want your spouse to feel loved, to feel your love, the love that you have. But this is the way they're going to hear it and receive it. And in Dr. Chapman's words, who wrote the five love languages, fill the tank, fill their love tank up so that they can then give themselves fully. And so I most of the couples that we've worked with and that we've gone through this, words of affirmation are generally in the top two, if not three, of just about everybody's profile because I think it's vital to all of us as humans.
Well,
and of course, all these things
are. If we practice that, we get better at it, don't we?
Absolutely, and that's part of what the evening will be about. And what the book is about is we have to learn. We have to teach ourselves. If this is my wife and I are a perfect example. For me, the number one love language, the thing that speaks love to me the most, is acts of service. You doing things for me. Mm. For my wife, that is number five on her list.
Mm.
Doing the laundry is not a way of my wife showing love. And me doing the laundry doesn't make her feel loved. Now, that could be frustrating because I did the laundry, I did the dishes,
exactly.
I cleaned the house, I make sure when she gets home there's never any dishes. And then she's mad at me for something, and I'm like, well, wait a minute. How much do I have to love you before you get it?
Yeah,
and the point is, that just doesn't speak love to her. What I'm doing is offering love to her, the things that make me feel loved. I'm assuming that what makes me feel loved will make her feel loved. And it isn't that she doesn't appreciate those things. It's just they don't make her feel loved.
Hence you speaking English and her only speaking Chinese.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, on the other hand, for her, it's physical touch. So, and that is at the end of my love language list. And one of the things that we will do that night is get into, so why is that? Well, it really, to a large degree, comes down to our formation as children, the home in which we were raised. Definitely affects what becomes our primary love language. And so sometimes we have to recognize that we picked up some things growing up that maybe were helpful, but maybe were not.
Maybe we didn't.
We kind of have this idea, if it works for mom and dad, well, why wouldn't it work for us?
Exactly. We didn't actually marry good old mom.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and as baby boomers, too, we weren't a real hugging family.
No.
Now, there was a lot of love, but it wasn't a physical, you know, a lot of hugging and that type of thing. And
right. Yeah, and exactly.
Great
and that's
point.
Kind of the situation we're in, where that's for her, that holding hands in public or that just coming up out of nowhere to give you a squeeze or not ever leaving a room without some sign of physical affection. To her, that speaks love. Me simply being physically in the same space with her speaks love to her. Where for me, that just doesn't come natural. And so that's what I have to work on if I want her to feel loved. I have to know that while doing the laundry is great, she'd rather I let the laundry sit and just spend an hour talking to her.
So how do you learn Chinese?
Yeah, exactly. It takes time. I mean, we've been working, you know, and a lot of the couples that will be at this have been doing it a lot longer than we have. We've been working on it for 20 years, and we still go through these same struggles where I feel unappreciated or she feels unappreciated, which in effect means we feel unloved because we're doing this and they're not responding like we think they should.
So the key is speaking up.
Right. Yeah, you have to communicate. And so my wife, and that's kind of some of the stuff we'll talk about. We've built in some triggers for us for when we're getting a little disconnected. We know, okay, here's what we need to do because we've let something slip. One of us isn't feeling loved. We're feeling a little disconnected. And so we kind of have a routine that we go through that helps us kind of get back on track. And so we usually like to kind of give people that tool for their toolbox in case it could be helpful for them as well.
Well, Deacon, what I want to do is after you've made your presentation here in Decatur, we don't want to give away your whole presentation or everybody will say, well, I've heard that.
Yeah, exactly.
What we want to do is we'll have you back here before too long and we'll discuss it a little more in depth. I want to remind everybody we're speaking with Deacon Patrick O'Toole of the Diocese of Springfield about the five love languages and about the event coming up next Tuesday night, February 7th, at the Beach House, Couples Night Out, and Deacon is going to be there to talk about the five love languages. And Deacon, I think the doors open at 6 p.m., but I don't have that in my notes.
Yes, I believe that's correct, and I think the appetizers are to begin at about 6:30, if I understand correctly,
okay.
And then we're on sometime in the next 45 minutes from there.
Okay, it's best to have your tickets in advance, and you can get those. If you want to call here to the studio, we'll give you the information on how to get those tickets. I think all of the parish houses also have that information. Donna Dossman and Catherine Smith are two of the people that are really putting their heads together and getting this going. And it's turning into a great social and learning event for the parishes here in Decatur.
464-1099. 464-1099 will get you more information.
All right. Deacon, thanks for joining us this morning. This sounds like one of those presentations you ought to put on CD like some of them that you've done.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, the trouble for me is everything I say, I stole from somebody. I'm not some genius who can write this. So if I start putting stuff in books and on CDs, I'm probably going to get sued. You know, I've talked to some of the people I steal stuff from, and I've said to them, you know, I use your material, but I don't always give you credit. And they'll say, well, why not? And I say, well, because I massage it and change it and put my own. I'm not sure you want credit for what I just said. And usually my response is, you're right. Don't mention me.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for joining us, Deacon. It's been a pleasure. You know, we'll ask our listening audience to say a prayer for you and Danielle. You know, we don't pay our guests to be on, only in we repay them in prayer.
That's right.
So thanks for being with us this morning. Good luck next Tuesday. We hope to hear a good review. And if at all possible, I'm going to try to be there. My wife will be working, but I'm the one probably that needs to learn.
I think you need to take me with you because I don't think you love me very much.
Well, I do, though. You're my brother. All right, Deacon, okay. Thanks so much for being with us this morning.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Deacon.
Bye-bye. All right, we're going to take a quick break here on The Cradle and the Convert. And on the other side, we're going to talk with Father Stephen Erisman about his recent trip to Washington for the March for Life. And whatever else is on the top of Father's mind, I think he's made do the gospel preview for us this morning. So stay where you are, and we'll be back in just a second.
Talk radio for the Catholic life. 88.9, 96.5 FM, WDCR.
Okay, welcome back to The Cradle and the Convert. With us in the studio this morning is the pastor of Our Lady of the Holy Spirit and St. Isidore's Parish, which is in Bethany. Holy Spirit's in Mount Zion, Father Stephen Erisman. Father, you've been here now with us for, what, 6 months?
About 6 months.
Great. Well, welcome
now
to the show. We're glad to have you.
It's really a joy being here again.
How do you like Mount Zion and the Decatur area?
Well, I actually finally feel like I'm getting adjusted now, and it's a lot of jobs to balance, and finally feel like I'm getting the hang of it.
You're
that
learning
now.
Our love language, are you?
I finally am learning the love language of this area. So,
have you found the easiest way from Mount Zion to St. Teresa?
I've tried every route, and I don't think there is such a thing as an easy way.
You have to catch the National Guard when they're out on maneuvers and climb a chopper.
That would be very nice. But I always thought it'd be a lot easier if I could just fly there. You know,
but it's tough when they drop you onto the roof, getting inside the building.
If everybody would just go when a light turns green. I could actually get there.
Well, a lot of them
in
are
a
on
reasonable
phones.
Amount of
you
time.
Have to give them.
Yeah,
very
they're busy true. Texting, you know, talking.
So, Father, the reason we've invited you in this morning is to tell us a little bit about last week's March for Life. You attended with a group from the diocese, and you know, I've always wanted to be a part of that and to have you in studio to tell us what it was like. I'm excited to hear what you have to say.
Well, this is, I think, you know, I kind of lost track. I think this is number 4 or 5 time that I've gone, and it's, you know, it's such a joy. So this time around, there were about 200 people in our group, so 4 buses that went from our group. But then there were about, I think, 700 or 800 people from the diocese that went.
Wow.
So it really was a really good showing from our area, from our diocese, but then, you know, with our group, we had 19 people from our parish, so we had 7 young people and then 12 adults that went
from
the two parishes, so from both Our Lady of the Holy Spirit and St. Isidore, and it really was quite a wonderful experience. As far as I know, I think from our discussions, nobody had ever been to the March for Life other than the youth minister and myself, and so it really was a great experience for all of them, even the adults, because, you know, a lot of people have never been for this, and it really does inspire you to go out and see so many people standing for life, but also so many youth and young adults and young women standing for life, and it really is something that changes your life.
The youth especially, because they're the ones that's going to carry through for generations.
Correct. And what I find, you know, that's so wonderful about the youth is they're excited and they're energetic. But the great thing about youth is when they get together, the energy just builds and builds and builds. And they're just a joy to be around, especially when they all come together. people in parishes, especially youth in parishes, you know, there might be other kids around them, but they don't get to see them very much, or even if they do get to see them, there's a lot of times where they don't see youth in the parishes, and so sometimes I think they feel like they're alone. And when they go to something like this, they realize, I'm not alone. There are other young people that are really, you know, excited about their faith. There are other young people that are really pro-life, because our culture, you know, has really kind of almost brainwashed, especially our youth, to think that, you know, the life doesn't begin at conception, and that life is not important. And so because of that, you know, these young people are battered down every day by their other young people, mm-hmm. and their mm-hmm. friends and their classmates and their teachers, and so it really is inspiring.